What's going on, my conjuring cuties of chaos? On this episode of the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, we have some big hairy news, some exciting UFO news, Edgegrave Dave reviews Cocaine Bear, and John Wright puts us in the right headspace about UAP whistleblower Stephen Greer. Let's get it started.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. I am your host, Ghost Joe. Welcome. I've got a good juicy stuff to talk with you guys about this week. But first, I just wanted to say a big thank you to the Get Haunted Paranormal Network for welcoming me into their awesome podcast family. I can't wait to start getting to know everyone involved. By the way, the Get Haunted links will be in my show notes from now on, so definitely check them out. You will not be disappointed. So, now let's talk about the big sexy. No, I'm not talking about the Nat Man. I'm talking about Bigfoot. There was a recent Bigfoot sighting back a few months ago. It was a pretty convincing, actually. Of the big guy, and it caused quite the commotion because Bigfoot was captured and posted on TikTok. Emmanuel Alfaro was just taking a leisurely walk in the parallel forest, cool name for a forest, by the way, of Lawton, Oklahoma, when he happened to see the beast hanging out, sitting in front of a tree. The video is very, very clear, and I'm going to link it in the show notes so you guys can check it out. I want you guys to tell me what you think. Is it the real deal? The footage lasts 10 seconds, and then Big Sass turns and looks at Alfaro, which then Alfaro ran away. The TikTok video has received over 2 million views so far and has many funny comments, as you could quite imagine, right? Some people say that it looks very similar to the Jack Lynx Bigfoot from the commercial, which that costume is sold in stores. But what do you guys think? Have you ever seen Bigfoot? Leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744 or email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com and let me know about it. The Nat Man and I actually interviewed the Squatch Father, Al Santariga, on our November 27th episode. So check that out for his very close encounters with Bigfoot and other paranormal creatures.
Horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
Icicles within my brain! Cocaine! Bear, that is, although I don't think that Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath, when they wrote the song Snowblind back in 1972, knew that such an unfortunate incident happened in December of 1985, when the pilot Andrew C. Thornton II, who was a former narcotics officer and a convicted drug smuggler, dropped duffel bags filled with cocaine all the way down in Georgia, and a poor, unfortunate American black bear was found just 3 months later, dead next to 40 opened plastic containers containing this cocaine. Believe it or not, not only did this inspire the 2023 film Cocaine Bear that we will be discussing, but they actually have the dead bear on display. You heard that right. At the Kentucky for Kentucky Fun Mall in Lexington, Kentucky. I looked into this, and you know what? If you actually Google this, you will find an actual photo. So here we go. And just to set the record straight, this was actually announced in December of 1985, as it turned out that 3 months earlier that the pilot had actually dropped this in September. And when he jumped out of the plane, he actually died almost instantly. It was found in Knoxville, Tennessee. So this is just unbelievable. I mean, just imagine hearing about this in December of 1985. And it's like nothing like this had ever happened before. And then so many years later, we get to the movie. So, Cocaine Bear. We're going to dive right into this, kids. Here is an Edgegrave warning. Spoiler alert. So when I first heard about this movie, it was actually the old-fashioned way. I saw the movie poster coming out of the movie Violent Night, which is an awesome action-based Christmas movie, by the way, with my wife. And when I looked at this poster for Cocaine Bear, I'm like, what the hell is this? I mean, you see this picture of this enraged animal, and hitting the Spirit of Joys and other rambunctious creatures like that. It is quite the wild ride. And just looking at the cast of characters, I mean, you guys just got to hear who's involved in this thing. This movie was directed by Elizabeth Banks. And Elizabeth Banks is best known for her character in The Hunger Games. And her first directorial debut was Pitch Perfect 2, of all things. She also did Charlie's Angels and the new 2019 one. And now she directed this movie. I also do remember her as the remake Power Rangers Rita Repulsa. So very interesting career, that one. This movie also stars Kerry Russell, who I remember from the Felicity show back in the day. She's done many things. A 2021 horror film called Antlers, something that I really want to check out as well. So her career is really growing down the horror route. Other people that are involved in this movie are O'Shea Jackson Jr., Christian Conde, Alden Ehrenreich, Brooklyn Prince, Isaiah Wilcock Jr., Margot Martindale, the final film appearance of Ray Liotta, who, as we all know, portrayed Henry Hill in Goodfellas. Man, I love that movie. Also very well known for Field of Dreams. And he was in the movie Blow, which also dealt with cocaine in 2001 with Johnny Depp and Penelope Cruz. So talking about the plot of this movie, the first thing that I'm going to tell you as in real life, guys, this poor bear didn't terrorize anybody. So there were a lot of creative liberties about this. And you know what? Just take inspiration from that. He's just freaking awesome. It's kind of turning something that was somewhat of like a tragedy and like a crazy crime into some entertainment. So the beginning of the movie starts out the exact same way. Andrew jumps out of the plane, all these freaking cocaine bags and like in the duffel bag, just weighing it down, jumps out, dies. There's some pumping 80s music. And then you have all these cross stories that sort of go on here. So you have this middle schooler named Dee Dee, and they live in Northeast Georgia. Her mother, Sari, they're having some issues. She's an only child. Her mother has this relationship. She's not really happy, and she kind of runs away into a forest. All while this is going on, you have the guys, this is where Ray Liotta come in, who have to retrieve all this cocaine because it's millions of dollars worth that they have lost. So they have to try to find that, or their kingpin boss is really going to have some major issues with them. Then you have this like park ranger character and this cop that is, you know, trying to get on the trail of what's going on here. Because guys, remember, the star is a bear who, by the way, they used CGI. This thing looked really real, by the way. I mean, I was fooled. I had thought that it was like the 1988 movie The Bear, which they actually, sort of a cute little cuddly story, but we're not gonna really talk about it. They actually had a bear and they kind of tracked it, and there were some animatronics and some movie magic done there, but this whole thing is like CGI. Now, this bear is freaking crazy for this cocaine. I mean, some of the things are just downright hysterical. I would actually call it somewhat of a tongue-in-cheek type film. You see how the music kind of cues up and it's like really, you know, hungry for this cocaine. And when it sees it, it just goes nuts. I mean, this movie has like limbs and body parts and injuries and kills, chases, and all these different types of scenarios that are going on with this bear. Like, it's unstoppable. And the way that they did it, it just progresses with such a humorous tone. And as the story unfolds and comes to a conclusion, you actually also find out that there is a whole bear cave where there's even more of this cocaine stash with like cubs. And it's just absolutely wild. There is definitely a frame of action in this movie. Humor, like I had said, this thing is just like, they've never seen anything like it before. And neither have each and every one of you. It's also very smartly written. I mean, I just love how the subplots all kind of come together in this movie, where you have the daughter and her mother, that story. You have the two drug smugglers. You know, one of them even gets shot at one point. And it's just, you know, I'm not going to tell you if he survives or not. And it's just wild how the dialogue just kind of goes back and forth there. Then you've got the cop that's like chasing all of them, and everything just just does come full circle. It also has the debut performance of the comedian Scott Seiss. And if you don't know who he is a stand-up comedian that used to work in IKEA. He has all these TikTok and Instagram videos where he's like a disgruntled employee. Very, very funny stuff. And O'Shea Jackson is also Ice Cube's son, the rapper Ice Cube. So, you know, it's just great once again how many people were involved in this movie. And we also got to talk about something else, guys. One of the things that I found a little bit distracting, and this is only for me because I'm crazy, Terry Russell's character wears this kind of pink outfit that looks just like her hairstyle too. This pink outfit that looks just like the yellow April O'Neil outfit for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon. I mean, I just saw that, and for me personally, I just found that hilarious. As far as the music and the overall feeling of the movie and the scenery, you know, I sort of do want to thank Stranger Things in a way for the popularity of the 80s inspired media that has been coming out. I mean, it seems like there's almost no end to it. And I think that sort of helped with the nostalgia and that sort of feeling that went into this movie. I do rate this one about a 3.5 out of 5 Graves. And I'll tell you the reason why. This movie at times does try to be funny and almost becomes a parody of itself. Some of the jokes do fall just a little bit short, you know, and I did want to see just a little bit more of the bear, but believe me, there's plenty to see. So very good movie, entertaining. I think that you'll definitely enjoy it and go see it because you will definitely be high coming out of this one. So go ahead and check out Cocaine Bear. Back to you, Ghost Joe.
Thank you so much, as always, for your awesome, horrible review, Edgegrave. I'm actually surprised. And now I actually didn't see it, but I'm actually surprised that you gave it such a high score because I don't know, just the name of it doesn't sound very appealing. But you know what? I trust you, Edgegrave. You're the man when it comes to horror movies. So I definitely trust your judgment. I don't know if that's a good idea, but I do, though. I do. I always do. So now let's get on with some out of this world news.
Out of this world news.
So let's talk about one of the more bizarre cases currently under investigation by the government officials. One of 21 cases, to be exact. Earlier this year, whistleblower Jake Barber, a U.S. Air Force veteran and contracted helicopter pilot, came forward with a compelling account of his involvement in UFO retrieval operations for the U.S. government. Barber shared his experience in an interview with News Nation's Ross Coulthart. I think I said that correctly. He recounted a particular incident where he was tasked with recovering a white egg-shaped craft. See, now it all makes sense when I said an exciting UFO news, right? Now it makes sense. See? You see what I did there? Recovering a white egg-shaped craft that he firmly believes was not of human origin. And he stated, just looking at the object on the ground, it was clear that it was extraordinary and anomalous, Barber explained. It was not human. He went on to say, it's unlike anything I've ever seen before. My team's reaction was a dead giveaway that we were dealing with something out of the ordinary. Over the years, ranking members of the UAP task force have confirmed to me that what we encountered that night was indeed NHI, non-human intelligence, and that it wasn't an isolated experience. This story made headlines thanks to an accompanying video that supposedly shows the UFO being lifted and transported by a helicopter. Recent reports indicate that the U.S. Department of Defense is actively looking into this case along with 20 others as part of its ongoing investigations into unexplained aerial phenomena. Whether we'll get definitive answers from the investigation remains to be seen. And even if significant discoveries are made, there's no guarantee that the findings will be made public. As for the original video of that egg-shaped UFO, its authenticity is still up for debate.
Good evening. You are entering a dimension where up is down, good is evil, and day is night. You've just made a wrong turn into the right headspace.
Thanks, Joe. Hey, everybody. Next few segments are going to be part of a series that I'm doing on whistleblowers. This is going to include some of the usual suspects, guys like Dr. Stephen Greer, Lou Elizondo, David Grush, just to name a few. But before I start on that, I'd like to just take a moment to update people on the whole drone craze that swept the tri-state area over the last couple of months. When it started, I did receive some some emails, some text messages from friends. I can't remember, Joe, if you had sent me one, but I know there are a lot of other people that did. I also received messages and had friends from work talk to me and ask me about what was going on and whether or not like aliens were going to appear and all this other stuff. So when people would ask me those things, I would just either respond and calmly say no, or I would email them back and say no. And then that is usually accompanied with some sort of explanation as to why I wasn't a real big believer in all this stuff. In any case, I'm glad to say that we now know that 95% of what people were seeing in the skies was actually just regular commercial traffic, flights coming in, flights going out of those areas, and that the other 5% was actually drones. And it wasn't like alien drones. It was drones that were controlled by the FAA. That information hasn't come out yet, so we're still not quite sure what FAA was looking for when they had those drones up. I don't know. Maybe it was patrolling traffic, whatever. Maybe it was looking for something else. One of the things that was a real highlight for me from this whole entire thing was the dipshit senator from, I think it was New Jersey, who went on the news and was 100% certain that it was an Iranian mothership that was releasing these drones off the coast of the United States, and that the federal government, Defense Department, all these other things, these people had to do something about it. glad to say it was not an Iranian mothership. As you know, I'm part of MUFON, and as a member of MUFON and a investigator, I am also part of a email chain for the New York State MUFON investigators. Sad to say that most of the investigators were, I don't know whether to say it, but they were like neck deep in this stuff. Most of them were like, yeah, it's alien controlled. It's disclosures coming and all this stuff. And they had bought into the hype. And unfortunately, there's a very small number of us within MUFON that do remain skeptical. So what I want to do is just take a quick side note and take a minute to help people understand what a skeptic is as compared to the way that people use it usually when they talk about skeptics within the scope of ufology. So real quick, definition of a skeptic is a person who is slow to believe or ready to question. It comes from the Greek term skeptikos, which means thoughtful. Now, I think what most people do is they confuse skeptics with cynics. So what is a cynic? A cynic is a person who distrusts people, believes that people act only in their own self-interests. And all too often, the world of ufology and in the world of cryptids, those people who do not readily accept fantastic claims are automatically labeled skeptics. Again, I come back to a skeptic is a person who has to have evidence in order to kind of buy in or believe or even kind of shift their views in that direction. And unfortunately, most people are going to say, oh, just because you don't believe, oh, you're a skeptic. And what they really mean is you're a cynic. And a cynic is somebody who does not believe even in the presence of evidence. They do not believe what is there in front of them. Okay, I'm going to step off my high horse for a minute. So back to today's topic. So today I'm going to talk about Dr. Stephen Greer. I did a segment about his whole history and a few other things during an interview with Joe. We did this a couple of years ago. So this was back in, it was December of 2022. The episode was Thrashing Through the Snow and an Episode Full of Sleigh. So I would suggest if you can pause right here, go back, listen to that interview. For those that may not have, I did mention his CE, meaning his Greer's CE5 protocol. So real quick, the idea is that Greer had developed the idea that you can use psychic abilities to contact these craft, and just by meditation and sheer thought process, all these other things, you could actually call these things in. So again, if you want more information, I would say go back, take a look at that December of 2022 interview. Today, I'm just going to focus more on like Greer in the late 90s and how he was talking about disclosure. He came out with a book, all this other stuff, and made just like these outlandish claims. One of the claims that comes out of this time frame is that he was debriefed by one of Clinton's top officials. And this kind of left people to infer that he had connections with some very, very important people. As it turns out, the person that he had claimed he had debriefed him was R. James Woolsey, who was the then director of the CIA. My understanding is that somehow Greer was brought along to a dinner party and was a guest there. Anyway, shortly after the book was published, a letter signed by Woolsey and three other people that had attended the dinner. It was Woolsey's wife. You had John Peterson, Diane Peterson, who also wind up signing this letter. And the letter will be sent to Stephen Greer, MD, International Director, Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, or AKA CSETI. What a freaking ripoff. You got to associate it with a real scientific study. Let me get off the soapbox and just get back to this. So the letter will be sent to Dr. Greer. And the letter goes like this. Dear Dr. Greer, it has just come to the attention of the four of us that you have, without giving any of us the opportunity to comment, published a distorted account of a dinner party of some 6 years ago at which the four of us, you and your wife, were seated together. In the introduction to your book, Extraterrestrial Contact, published earlier this year, you portray this dinner party conversation during which the four of us listened to your views and politely asked questions as a briefing with a quote-unquote cover story. You further assert that Mr. and Mrs. Woolsey reported a UFO sighting to you and agreed with your views. You include specific alleged quotations from them. None of this is accurate. You have portrayed politeness as acquiescence and questions as affirmations. Your conduct in this matter contravenes both accuracy and simple manners. Sincerely, John L. Peterson, Diane C. Peterson, R. James Woolsey, Suzanne H. Woolsey. So I'll give you a second to digest that. If you need to, go back, replay it, that sort of stuff. Or you can go on, it's called UFOWatchdog.com. And then you can go through, and it's in the tab that's labeled Hall of Shame. And then you can go down through and it'll have a couple little hyperlinks and you can click on it and you can read the letter for yourself. So in the end, what does this prove? in my mind, it kind of shows Greer for what he truly is. At best, a supreme over-exaggerator. At worst, a total fraud. And one of the things that they talk about is how he offers up all this information, and he sells these kits that you can buy for the CE5 protocol and all these things. And it drives me nuts. In my mind, the worst case scenario could potentially be the one that's at play here. For some people, they're motivated by money. And I think this guy is motivated by money. And again, you could go back, you can listen to the previous interview where I talk about the conferences. And at that time, people were in the COVID protocols. You couldn't meet in person. So people were doing this stuff online and all these other things. It's insane. In any case, in my next segment, I will talk about who some refer to as UFO Jesus. So until next time, hopefully this leaves you in the right headspace.
Thank you so much, John, for that awesome segment. And I can't actually wait for you to do all the rest of the people that you're going to do also, because It really fascinates me. And the one thing that I love about John's segments is that he's not only is he detail oriented, but it's based out of fact. And he also, he's a realist. You know, he's not just going to say, oh, it was aliens. It was aliens. It was this, it was that, you know, and, you know, that's what I love about him. Yeah. I mean, even though I would honestly, I would love that, you know, I've never seen a UFO, but one day I will. I promise you one day I'm going to find it. Maybe they'll even let me take a tour. You know, that'd be pretty cool. Listen, if they wanted to blow us up, they would have did it already. All right. They're not going to wait for us to know that they're there before they do it, you know? But anyway, I digress. That's going to do it for us. Have a great week, everybody. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Later.
Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast. And thank you to all of my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744. Or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, please check out our show notes for all social media links of this show and some of our friends. The Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, uncovering the unseen.